Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's podcast, we will discuss the life of King Alexander III and the succession crisis which resulted after his death. Alexander III became King of Scotland in 1249 when he was aged only 8 years. The death of his father saw the young prince take charge of the country, along with help from others. As Alexander was only a child, the country would be run by a regent until the boy king became a man. Alexander's regent was a man called Alan Durward. He was a powerful man and effectively controlled Scotland until Alexander reached the age of 21 in 1262. Alexander's time as king is generally seen to be a very successful one for Scotland. There was increased jobs and trade in the country, especially to the continent, for instance with the trade of wool to Flanders and Belgium. Alexander was also seen as a very successful military leader. One of Alexander II's goals had been the return of the Western Isles to Scottish rule, instead of Norwegian control. Taking up his father's desire, Alexander III's army fought against the Norwegians at the Battle of Largs in 1263. Although, in many regards, many people consider the battle itself to be something of a draw, with no definitive clear winner, ultimately he succeeded and the Western Isles did indeed come back under Scottish control. After this, areas across Scotland benefited from increased trade, including from the Western Isles again being a key part of Scotland. Alexander, and also the actions of his father, ensured that Scotland and England had good relations. Even when he was only a boy, King Alexander had refused to pay homage to King Henry III of England, who became his father-in-law. Alexander very much saw himself as an equal with Henry III, and the same with his successor, Edward I. Both Alexander and Edward had known each other from a young age. Alexander did agree to pay homage to Edward for his lands in England, but never for the lands that he owned in Scotland. However, although Alexander's time as king was a successful one, his personal life was not so happy. His first wife, Margaret, who was the daughter of Henry III of England, died before him, and so did all of his three children. His only remaining blood relative was his granddaughter, Margaret, who was the daughter of the King of Norway. Alexander needed to have another child to be his heir, and as a result, he married a woman from a French royal family, Yolande de Dreux. However, one night, as Alexander travelled to visit his new bride at Kinghorn in Fife, he fell from his horse, broke his neck, and was killed. At first it was believed that the new queen might be pregnant, but it soon became clear that she was not. Some historical stories suggest that she may have had a miscarriage or a stillbirth. As a result of this, there was a strong fear of civil war in Scotland or English control if a new monarch could not be found. A parliament met in Scone to discuss what should happen. The king's only living relative was his granddaughter Margaret. However, many people were opposed to this, partly because of Margaret's young age, she was only around 2 at this time, also because of the issue of high child mortality, meaning that very often children died at a young age. Many also were concerned that it would mean the need for another regent, and finally there was an attitude that a woman was not best placed to lead Scotland. However, in 1284, and perhaps foreseeing possible future problems, Alexander has made his nobles promise that they would accept Margaret as queen if he had no more children. And thus Margaret, aged by now only 3 years old and living in a different country, it was agreed would be Scotland's queen. She was obviously too young to run the country, and so someone would have to be chosen to do so until she was old enough. If only one regent had been chosen, it would have led to huge disputes between many of the most powerful men in Scotland, so instead a group of guardians did so. They ran Scotland based on a concept known as Community of the Realm, where, in theory, all groups would work together for the betterment of the country. However, even with these actions, Scotland was still hugely divided between supporters of Robert Bruce and John Baliol, although ultimately neither of these men was made a guardian. Both feared that the other would gain the throne. For instance, they worried about who Margaret would eventually marry. Bruce even took some military actions against supporters of Baliol. King Edward of England was also taking a keen interest in Scottish affairs. He had a solution which would prevent further civil war in Scotland. Edward proposed to marry his own young son, Edward, who would later become the King of England, to Margaret, known as the Maid of Norway. As a result, in 1290, the Treaty of Burgum confirmed the marriage, but also agreed that the two countries would remain independent, that nobles with Scottish land would only be expected to pay homage to the Scottish king, and the Scots would not be required to pay taxes to fund English wars. In 1290, it was decided that Margaret should travel to Scotland to prepare to one day become queen. However, during her sea journey, Margaret took ill and she died in Orkney. It was believed that she had pneumonia. Scotland now had no heir and no one to take over the throne. It stood on the brink of civil war. Various nobles across Scotland began assembling armies to help them become the new King of Scotland, and something or someone needed to stop this happening. Bishop Fraser of St Andrews had one solution. That was the direct intervention of King Edward of England. Edward was seen by many as a friend of Scotland, and Bishop Fraser wrote to the king and asked him to come north and choose a new king for Scotland. This was on the basis that whatever his decision was, it was one that no one could oppose. Even at this stage, King Edward was well aware that Scotland was divided, particularly between supporters of Robert Bruce and John Balliol. He received a letter from Bruce claiming to have the support of all Scotland's earls in his quest to become king.